oil and gas drilling in West Virginia, but there's a movement by some who say that those who own the land above, those who own the surface land, not the mineral rights below, but the surface land above, need more protection. And then on the other side, you have the oil and gas operators who say that, well, the protections are already there. So who's right in this? Is there any common ground? Dave McMahon is with us. He's a lawyer for surface owners, for low-income surface owners in West Virginia. He joins us. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good to see you. And Phil Reel, who represents West Virginia Oil and Natural Gas Association. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Hoppy.
Dave, general outline, what are you trying to do here with this legislation?
Well, the problem right now is that, Hoppy, if you own the surface of land and I own the minerals, in order for my minerals to be worth anything, I have to be able to get on your surface and do something. And the question is, what can I do? And there is the only law is it's called the fairly necessary rule. It's a common law rule. Going from down the middle of your meadow and put a site in the middle of your meadow, you say, no, no, that's more than is fairly necessary. I want you to come down the side of the meadow and put the site over here. And the only thing that you can do if we disagree is go to court, hire a lawyer, post a bond, get an injunction. Surface owners can't afford to do that. So we're trying to have some way to try to get the surface owner and the driller together.
By doing what? What would it require?
Would require them to notify the surface owner before they come onto the land and start putting down surveying stakes. The first time they know here comes the driller, there's a surveying stake on the land. It requires a 60-day for them to give us 60 days, give us a proposal 60 days in advance, so we can try to work something out. And if we can work something out, then we'll waive all the 60 days and the 15-day permit notice and all the other things so they can go right ahead. And it requires them to do a slightly larger bond if we can't come to some agreement.
Phil Reel with oil and gas, what's wrong with that?
Well, my good friend David misspoke about one thing. That's not the only law. We do have statutory law on the books. It sets forth the permitting processes for oil and gas drilling in West Virginia. And indeed, you do have to provide the surface owner with a notice of your application for a permit, the fact that you've applied for a permit. And with that is included a number of things. A plat that identifies the location of a proposed well, roadways that are to be constructed, kinds of disturbances to the surface, along with a sediment and soil erosion control.
Meaning you're giving information to the owner before you begin?
Before at the same time that you make application for the permit, you give that notice. And that also advises the surface owner of their opportunity to offer comments to the Office of Oil and Gas. So, you know, there is an opportunity there. And frankly, I think in general practice, some of what Dave is suggesting does occur. I think as a practicality, I think there are numerous interactions between the oil and gas operator and the surface owner prior to drilling.
Let me get that. Dave, what about that? If the oil and gas driller has to provide that information when they make application to drill, then where's the failure in your view?
The only notice that the surface owner gets is 15 days before they can come to drill. And the notice already has the well site and well location surveyed as part of the permit. So they've already decided where they're going to go before the surface owner has to get notice. I agree that's in the law. It's just too limited. Come and talk to us before you pay the surveyor, before you come onto our land the first time. Try to work it out. And Phil's right. Lots of people do. Lots of drillers do. Lots of people don't.
I would offer, sort of in a tit-for-tat way here, Hoppy, that in most cases where comments are actually filed, the producer takes, they do interact with the surface owner, and certainly they don't start drilling in 15 days. They may not get the permit for a month, nonetheless, they've got to offer that 15-day notice of the fact that they have applied for the permit and provide all the information associated with it.
Let's take a real-life situation, which might be easier for people to relate to. Let's say I own 50 acres in what's a good oil and gas drilling county?
Gilmer
County, okay. I got 50 acres in Gilmer County, okay? And I own the surface rights, and somebody else owns the mineral rights and has for some years. Is that typically the case?
Decades, yes.
Okay. Has owned it for decades. And then what is, in Dave's, in your mind, a worst-case scenario that happens out of that? That one day there's a surveyor there, and I don't know what the surveyor is doing there, and I ask the surveyor, and the surveyor says, well, I'm just surveying, and are you saying the property owner's caught unaware?
Real-life case, guy calls me. He sees a truck going up on his land to a place that he wanted to be a home site. He goes up there, there's a surveyor found a stake in the ground. He says, what are you doing? He says, this is where we're going to put an oil and gas well. Guy says, well, I was going to put a house here. And the surveyor says, well, not now.
Did that really happen?
Yes.
Phil, how does that happen? Phil, how does that happen?
But if I could add one more piece left out. So yes, Phil's right. I do get a copy of this permit with the site already there. I'm only allowed to comment on how the road is made. Does it comply with solar resident sediment control? The state, when I comment on the permit, cannot move it based on my rights as a surface owner that the oil and gas drill should only do what is fairly necessary.
Phil, my comment would be that if a man was legitimately interested in putting a house there, the Division of Oil and Gas isn't going to award the permit. Now, frankly, what typically occurs to the Office of Oil and Gas, if they see this going to be a problem for safety or environmental consideration or anything, they don't for that permit, or they can award the permit with modifications, which means you may move the location for any variety of reasons.
If the landowner complains. So some of those things, Dave, can be adjusted if the landowner complains. The landowner says, well, that road's really not good for me, or I was going to put a home there. Doesn't that then affect the permitting process?
No. If the surface owner says it's too steep a place, there's going to be erosion, or you don't have enough water pumps, yes, the oil and gas can permit. Sometimes they'll try to mediate a little bit, but if the driller says, I want to put it here, and it meets the solar roads and sediment control manual, and it does the most harm possible to the surface owner, because DEP does not have the power to alter the permit on those grounds.
Phil?
Well, it's a much deeper issue. First of all, the owner of the minerals has a contractual right. When they sever the minerals from the surface estate in property, they reserve not only the right, not only the ownership, the right to develop those minerals in such use of the surface as would be reasonably necessary. Now, many states, I think about 12 states, have enacted laws that afford surface owners additional rights. West Virginia is one of those states. We already have it on the books. It was enacted in 1982. However, no one has challenged that law or any of these other laws as to the abrogation of contractual rights.
So what are you saying?
I'm just saying that if somebody wanted to challenge it, I think significantly invading, minimizing, modifying the rights of those who own the minerals and reserved them years ago and now their successors hold them.
Couldn't agree less. All we're doing is it requires a driller to plan a little further ahead, and nothing in this bill stops them from drilling a well. And remember, it takes...